Well, this morning I am going to go back and think, because we're still dealing with the area of soul prosperity. Because one thing God began to deal with me, He was talking to me before about wanting to go over to the area to talk about prosperity. And He started to reveal some stuff to me. It's one of the things in dealing with the area of prosperity has been this. Majority of what people teach about prosperity is from the giving side, which is scriptural. It's from the side of giving. Giving is an act of faith. If a person says, well, I believe God's going to help me, but is afraid to give anything, well, that shows that they don't have faith. See, it isn't enough to say, I believe God. Jesus didn't say, by what they say, you'll know them. He said, by their fruit. All kind of people claim to be Christians. All kind of people say, I'm going to tell you, well, you go to any church today, you know, that says they believe and be born again. Ask them if they believe the Bible. Oh, yeah, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Yet the majority of it, they don't believe. Well, they'll say, well, man, you know, all the miracles stopped when the last apostle died. Yet there's not one scripture in the New Testament says that. Not one says it. But yet that's their doctrine. They don't believe the Bible. Well, we don't have the gifts of the Spirit today. We don't have those. We don't need them. We don't need gifts of healing. We got doctors. Well, that's worked out real well. I mean, that's part of our $16 trillion debt. And the doctors. Now, I ain't got nothing against going to the doctor, but you think the doctors are going to solve the problem of healing in America? You need a brain transplant. Something is wrong upstairs. See, there needs to be a soul. And the soul of man is the part of man. The Bible talks about the spirit of man. Also talks about the soul. The soul deals with the mind, will, and emotions. That's why the Bible talks about the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind is just not about thought. It's about thought. It does have to do with thought, but it's not just about that. You can have a person who knows and has the right information, but if they cannot control their will or their emotions, they won't do what's right. It's not enough to know what's right. And this is where, concerning the Word of God, is where we want to, you know, getting into the Word of God. God wants man to go through a soul transformation. Man's soul needs to be changed. When I got born again, my spirit became a new creature in Christ Jesus. But you know what? I had the same thoughts between my ears. That had to be changed. And that is through the renewing of our mind, through the renewing of our mind. And it's not just a physical process. The Bible is not a science book or a math book. If it was, anybody that would read it would have had to figure it out and be living it. It isn't. It's a book that God wrote, and it's only revealed by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't listen to the Holy Ghost, you don't know the Bible. You might be able to quote the words of it. But revelation, the Bible's clear to us. Revelation comes to us by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit takes what belonged to Jesus and shows it to us. I can read it all I want, but if I don't listen to the Holy Spirit, all I'm doing is becoming religious. And I'll start a religion based on my idea of what the Bible said. I found this out. I mean, I went over and looked in the Bible. Jesus made quotes from the Bible. He made quotes from the Old Testament saying this certain thing, you know, telling what it meant. I went over to the Old Testament and looked at it and I thought, well, it didn't seem to mean that at all there. But Jesus said it means this. Well, then I decided if Jesus said it means that, then that's what it meant. So the Bible is not to be reasoned out. It's to be revealed by God to people. It's to be revealed. That's why people come along. You say, well, why can't this guy just figure this out? If people aren't listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal stuff to them, they ain't going to figure it out. You can sit and tell them and it's completely unreasonable. You can take a person who's been born again, and if they're just going to try to meet God on an intellectual level, you might as well, you know, don't force yourself trying to push things on them, because if they're going to try to use intellect to know God, it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. So we're not trying to do that. I'm not trying to reach your intellect today. I want to reach your spirit. God works on man from the inside out. If God can't change your heart, if God can't work in your heart, that's what He wants to get at. He can't renew your soul. It's not done from the outside. It's not some physical thing. It can't be by memorization of scriptures. My God. I mean, I went to Sunday school and they made you memorize scriptures, and then we went out and lived like hell. Now come on, folks, and it don't. I know Christians today can sit and quote, they have good memories on stuff, great memories on things, and they can memorize things and they can do stuff, but they're not godly. It's not about that. What will change you is from the inside. The Holy Ghost don't live in your brain. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. He lives in you and in your spirit. He reveals. He communes with your spirit. The Holy Ghost ain't talking to your brain. But your spirit will. Your spirit will reveal things to your mind to help you get in line. So really, the renewing of a person's soul comes from inward, not from outward. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. They are for your spirit. That's where they need to dawn on first. That's where they need to come to first, is your spirit. And so your spirit man, you need to allow your spirit man to heal, to hear things. What happens is people run their mind, and if something comes and it don't line up with their religious doctrines, they turn it off, or it don't line up. Because people all the time say, well, you know, you can't, look how it is out here. You can't believe that the Bible, this stuff's true, that this stuff works today. You know, it's like a guy came to me one time and said, well, if God still heals, why don't He heal in our church? I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you preach healing in your church? He said, no. I said, you just answered the question. Nobody has faith for it because you didn't preach it. So they can't be healed. Faith comes by hearing the Word. I said, now do you get people saved in your church? Yeah. I said, do you preach salvation? Yeah. This ain't rocket science, folks. But it is the most of the world, because most people have been educated so far in the natural realm that they're no good spiritually. Now, I ain't got anything against education. I have education. I'm not against it. But any education at the expense of the Bible is demonic, and it'll lead you to no good. Folks, if you ain't figured that out, I mean, we talk about higher education. Our nation's in a mess, and it's been done by college graduates. Our Congress and everybody, all these people graduated from college. These guys out here in these businesses that did all the things with the wrecking money and stuff and doing all the things, they was college graduates. But what were they were? It wasn't a matter of they were college graduates, just college graduates. But ungodly college graduates. People who are not taught, because the colleges have thrown them out. I mean, I'm really amazed some of the Christian colleges, what they teach today. They tack the name Christian on because they got to get students there so they can make money and have their jobs. But what they're teaching isn't always godly. So you got to watch what you eat around here. You know, just like in the natural, they're always worried about what people eat. But yet people gulp anything spiritually. They'll gulp anything. Sit down. Some guy says it. He gets a title in front of him, and all of a sudden, boy, he's got it. You know, he knows something. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin used to say. I always thought that name PhD meant post hole digger. Well, praise God. But we want to look at things because we're talking about soul prosperity. And in 3 John, the first chapter, we were last week, and I want to reiterate there because it's this is John, and he wrote to Gaius, who was a brother in the Lord to him. And he wrote this, and it was a letter to him. And he said this, he said, starting at verse 1. It says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. He said, beloved. In other words, he says to him, look, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now see, if God wants people sick, and if God wants people poor, I wonder where John got this idea at. Because he made this statement to God. Why would he want Gaius to prosper? Why would he want Gaius to be in help? If God uses sickness to make people, teach people, then why? I don't see, we're singing that prayer, I want more of you. Are we singing, God, please make me sick? Well, many churches are. That's what they're singing because they believe sickness is how God teaches people. Well, the last thing you want to sing is that song, I Want to Know You More, because you're going to be spending your money down at the doctor's office. Well, isn't that right? If I want to know you more, well, let's get sick. I never saw Jesus one time. A guy comes and said, Jesus, I want healing. And Jesus said, I'm sorry, God's trying to teach you something, son. And folks, you heard me say this many times. It's Jesus. If I don't see in Jesus' ministry where he did that, then Jesus was a fraud and a liar, and he did not portray the Father like they said. Then the Bible is a lie. Jesus said he always does the will of God. You tell me Jesus never ran into anybody that God wanted sick? Should be written in the book. Or we got a false book. Well, I'm sorry, I do not believe we got a false book. I don't believe Jesus is a liar. The Bible says this, let God be true and every man a liar. We got a lot of liars. Now, they may not consider it. They might be nice people and everything else. But they're lying on God. Jesus said who the guy's messing things up. He said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Because something takes place, that don't make it God. Because something takes place, it don't make it God. He said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. See, if you don't get your mind renewed with the Word of God, you don't get your mind, will, and emotions changed. If they do not change, then you're never going to prosper and be in health. That's never going to happen. Never going to happen. I've read just secular studies. I've read numbers of secular studies. Doctors concur and agree that a person has a great attitude and things and stuff. It's so much easier to get them well than it is people. I just read here last year, they put out a study, American Medical Association put out a study on medications. And they said, talked about people, good attitudes, people, and they talked about people with and had positive attitudes and things about health and things and stuff like that. Medications work better for them than the people who believe they're supposed to be sick and yeah, well, this is just the way I am and this. Even the medications in their body. Why? James wrote this. James said, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. If you can't quit talking negative about things, you're your biggest problem. Because even the ones that are trying to help you can't do it. See, if you can't get a person to quit talking destruction, you can't keep them from destruction. There ain't enough money in the earth to keep them from destruction. There ain't enough to do. You can't, when a person's talking things that are killing them, they're going to die. They're going to kill themselves. And we need to understand, we can control our whole body. See, the Bible says that the Spirit that lives in us, in Romans, in the 8th chapter, tells the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. It quickens or it makes alive the mortal body. See, we need to start talking life. You need to start talking about the Holy Spirit giving you life in your body, and not talk, well, I tell you, well, Granny had a bad heart, and that just runs in our family. Well, it runs in yours, but it stopped in mine. We ain't going there. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, quickening my mortal body. Making my body alive. Don't say it's in there. Making me dead. Making my mortal body dead. It's the same Spirit. So, if we don't change ourselves, it just says to prosper. I said last week what the word prosper here. One of the meanings of it means to, in the Strong's Concordance is to succeed in business. You know, God wants people in business to succeed. God has a desire that a Christian man be in business and succeed. And it was always interesting because I was born and raised in a church that would down rich people. You know, well, they just got all this money. Somebody got well off. And I remember my uncle, he got, a little well off. And I'll never forget, this is back years. This is in the 50s. And he bought a new Packard. It was one of those Packards, and it had, the hydraulic suspension and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that was a car of its day. And he got one of those. On all my words, he was going to hell for sure because he bought this Packard. He had this car. And that's just too flashy. I'm going to tell you, those Christians are going, they died and went on. They must live outside the city of God because they'd hate the gold streets and all that. God's too flashy. They don't hate all that stuff. Just too flashy out there. You know, God talked about, Jesus made this thing. Jesus talked about how beautiful the flowers are of the field. He said, they're dressed better than Solomon is. How much better will I do to you? He says, oh, you of little faith. Jesus said he'd dress us better than Solomon. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Solomon wasn't wearing blue jeans. But then again, see, he didn't mean that. He must not. Let's tear that page out of the Bible, Mike. Get that one out of there. That don't belong in there. Well, rip that one out there. You know, we got to believe what Jesus said. I believe what Jesus said, but I believe our mind has not been renewed to God's thinking. Now, because we want to deal with some things here, because we're going to look with stuff, because people have had wrong motives. Wrong motives about wealth and stuff. See, people have, you know, want wealth for wrong reasons, even Christians. It could have want to be wealthy or want to have things for the wrong reason. And we want to walk in line with the Word of God. So it had, one of the meanings I said there, the word prosper means to business. I like the idea, though. It talks about prospering along a journey. And really, we're in a journey. We're supposed to prosper along in life, not hit a place of prosperity. See, many people have the wrong idea. And one of the things, they're trying to reach a day. See, this is one of the hurts of our nation. People have looked to, I want to get down to the place that I can retire and I have enough of this prosperity there to retire. Well, that's really worked out real good. That's worked real well. Well, really, what they're doing, you know what they've done? Now, they don't see it as that, but they did what Jesus talked about. Jesus said, the guy said, you know what? I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to build these big barns and I'm going to stuff them full of stuff. Then I'm going to sit back. See, we need to understand, God's not against prosperity, but He's against what that man did because he's not operating in faith. He wants to come in a place in life where he don't have to trust God anymore. He doesn't have to walk with God. I've got it all now. You don't want to go there. I don't care. There's nothing wrong with having a big bank account. But if that big bank account has you, then your soul is not prospering. Because what it's going to do, because God's not against prosperity, He sure wants it. He wants prosperity, but men's attitudes have to change concerning what money is and about money. It's like I said, if God can't get money through you, He can't get it to you. Most people are dams instead of rivers. Most Christians are dams of money. Majority of Christians are dams of money. It's about holding money up. It's not about letting money flow. It's about holding money. Why? Afraid you're not going to have enough. I know. I was born and raised in a Christian family, but my mama's soul never got renewed, and she went through the depression. And until the day she died, my mama had things in life, and you know, up the time of her age, I mean, everything was taken care of. She was blessed. Things are good. But she still lived like she was in the depression, trying to pinch and save everything and all that. Never got out from under that weight. Because why? Her soul didn't get renewed. And one of her biggest problems was the church she went to. She went to a church that didn't preach the Word of God on the subject. Well, so she never changed. She lived under them. You know, they had told her, you know, well, you know, God's against the guy that's getting rich. And, you know, he said, oh, he don't want you to have that. You know, God don't mind you have a sandwich, but you can't have two of them. You know, one's enough for you to get by on, you know, and yet those same people that would tell you about, I used to always think about that, turn around, take an offering, and pass the plate around, tell everybody's supposed to be poor, and they'd pass the plate around. I think, well, I ain't going to give them no money. They want poverty, let's give it to them. Don't pass me the plate if you want me poor, because I'm going to keep you there too. Because, you know, I want you to be just as holy as me. What people think. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, I want to look at a scripture there because of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and I want you to see it because people look at it and say, well, this scripture is under the law, and I want you to understand this. Here's a scripture that's stated, but it's not stated about the law. This scripture speaks specifically of the Abrahamic covenant, which was not the covenant of the law. It's the Abrahamic covenant. This is a principle of the kingdom of God. This is not a principle of the law or of the New Testament or of Abraham per se. God introduced this to Abraham of his principle that he laid down. This is a principle of the kingdom of God. And in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, in verse 18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth." He says, what? "That He may establish His covenant." That what? "That we may establish?" No, that He may establish His covenant. God gives you the power to get wealth so He can establish His covenant. Listen to what it says. "Which He swore to your fathers as it is to this day." Do you know who He was talking about when He said their fathers? He wasn't talking about their fathers at that time. He was talking about the fathers of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are the fathers of Israel. All through the Bible you find them. You find their mention of, you know, their, you know, "You're your father Abraham." They'll say these kinds of things. These statements are made. And so we want to look at some of this, because it says God gives you the power. Really it means the ability. Also it could mean force, it could mean might, it could be strength. God gives us, in other words, God gives you the ability to get wealth for this purpose, to establish His covenant. God's people are supposed to be the best blessed people in the earth. That's part of His covenant. It says in the New Testament that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And all these people, religious people, love this. Oh yeah, well, they're spiritual blessings. Let me tell you this. If you got any spiritual blessing from God and it doesn't have any benefit for you in the natural, then you didn't get nothing worth anything. You know, when I got saved, I got born again, I got a new spirit, I got a blessing from God, and it changed me in the natural. I'm so tired of hearing this ignoramus teaching out here by minister. Oh, he's talking about spiritual things. That's what I want to talk about. Because if I can get it in the spirit, we can change the natural. Hallelujah. When I got the new birth in my spirit, it changed me naturally. God works on the inside. The church has done everything it can to hide the things of God, to keep them covered, to keep them underneath. It's worked hard trying to get God to stop fulfilling His covenant. Mad at somebody because they got wealth, while they at the same time are always trying to get that guy's money. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Always trying. You see this thing. You know, we don't believe in wealth, but yet they're always trying to get a hold of it. They're always after wealth. You know, my dad used to talk about, you know, well, God, you don't want people to be flashy and this stuff. Well, why do you keep taking your paycheck where you work? Quit taking it and just get poor. Just get real poor and don't have nothing. See, we need to change. If people don't change, God has a plan from the time of Abraham. God is required to follow His word. He made a covenant to Abraham, and He must do it. He said, "I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. I'm going to make your name great." Oh, well, I don't want to be known as anything. Well, then get out of the covenant. God wants the name of the church. He wants Christians to become something great other than this. Oh, I'm just down here. I'm just an old pilgrim just making my way through. No, I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for Jesus. That's what we are. And I'll tell you what, our God supplies our needs. Our God is the one who desires to take care of us. Our God. David made this statement. He said, "I never saw the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread." In other words, he said, "I never saw a righteous man forsaken by God." If somebody's been forsaken by God, I don't care if they're a Christian, they got a problem because they're not living or walking righteously. He said, "I've never seen their descendants begging for bread." And today's vernacular, I've never seen their kids on welfare. Woo! That's good preaching! Oh boy! How do they get there and in that place? Unrenewed souls. And we, the church, have to change because we have aided this. We have been an aid to keeping people poor in our desire to do good, to help people. My God, we go out here in a church and kick a guy that don't want to work and just keep feeding him. My God. People don't want to do things. We need to change this thing. We need to come over things. We need to start teaching people how to prosper. We need to teach people the ways of God that God said, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Dear God. You know, I've seen people around trying to believe God for money and they're not working. Get yourself a job. God can't prosper. He said He'd prosper what you put your hand to do. If you don't do nothing, there's nothing for God to prosper you with. There's no actions to your faith. So you put your hand to something. And I tell you, there's no good jobs out there. I don't care if it's a good one. You need to take one. And if you don't take one, I don't care if you starve out. I'll do your funeral. But I ain't giving you no money. Dear God. It start to do something. Everybody. I have never had in my Christian life where God told me, you just go sit down, I'll take care of things. He's always had something that I had to do. There's what I had to walk in and what I had to do. And the desire from the areas to want to prosper. So here God said, look, I want to establish a covenant. He said, I've given you the power to get wealth. In other words, and let me say this, because we're going to go, I want you to take this, what I'm saying. We're not going to be able to teach it today. We'll go through it later on. But I want you to understand this. God's already given you the power to get wealth. Quit asking God for money. Start believing God. Quit asking God for money. He said, I've given you the power to get wealth. Now, is that for us? And I want to go over because we want to look at today because of what the Bible says. I already stated, you know, in Genesis 12:2, when God spoke to Abraham, He said, I'll make you a great nation. He told him, He said, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. The church is in the earth for this purpose, is to be a blessing. Not to just be, we want to be blessed. Understand this. Break out of the mold of me being blessed. And get into the mold of me being a blessing. If I have enough to be, that I'm blessed, being a blessing means I have more than I need, I can bless other people. Any Christian that is just happy with having enough for themselves is out of the will of God. God's desire is that everybody have enough to bless others. To be a blessing to somebody else. To be able to do something for somebody else. To be able to help somebody else. You know? So in other words, we're to be a blessing to help. You know, I want to tell you what. The poor don't send the gospel to the nations. It's somebody who's a blessing does that. They're able. They have more than they need. Or they're trusting God and they're giving. They're out there in action. Sending the gospel. The guy, I hate to see or hear ministers say, well, they're just too poor to be given. I'm sorry. Nobody ever got too poor to give. That never happened. Because if a person did that, God did that and said that about a person, then God just shut the door on their prosperity. Because the Bible says, given shall be given unto you. It says, press down, shake, and get it. Men will give into your bosom. Well, you told a poor guy, don't give, so nobody can give to him. See, we need to break free of the gospel of men. We talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. It's hardly preached. The gospel of Jesus is hardly preached. It's hardly preached. We need to get back over where the gospel is preached. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. We have a non-offensive gospel. Because, oh my God, don't say to anybody require anything or tell them they have to do something. Oh, we don't get people upset. They might leave the church. I say usher them out. If they don't want to follow Jesus, if they're going to get mad because I ain't going to change what I preach. I don't care if nobody comes. It don't matter. Amen. I'm not going to change the gospel. I'm not going to change what Jesus said to keep some people happy so you know they'll put some money in an offering plate. Dear God, I can go get a job and make money. I've done it before. I'll do it again. And God will bless me. But I'll tell you, God will give me a place to preach. It'll be better. Amen. I'm not afraid. And see, we need to come to the place. We need to renew our minds. You've got to become so confident in God that you care what man says about it. We have this watered down gospel that we're just trying to, get around people. Oh, we don't want, I'm sorry, my gospel ain't watered down. My God will take care of me. I don't care what they do to me. Throw me in prison for my preaching. I'll tell you what, I'll end up prosperous in prison. People will be looking to me for stuff. Hallelujah. I'll be blessing people. Hallelujah. That's all I've ever done in my life since I've been a Christian. And we ain't changing it because the gospel has not changed. So we need to get in line with the gospel. And our gospel, in Genesis 22:17, says this. Listen what God said to Abraham. This is what God spoke to Abraham. Now this is God's covenant with Abraham. Because we're looking at, well, what is this covenant the fathers, about the fathers? That they said, this is the covenant I made with your fathers. Look, this is a blessing covenant. This is the covenant that is a power for you to get wealth. This is the covenant. Listen what it says in verse 17. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sands which are is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Your descendants. This blessing is something that don't stop. If you want your children and your grandchildren to prosper, then you need to start moving in line with the truth of the Word of God. The reason we have set in a generation today there is so much poverty is because the church has preached poverty and it's going down through the generations where the church, my God, the church is loaded with welfare, all kind of stuff. Anything the government offers, they got to have it. I mean, my word, you go to churches today, they're taking money from the government to do their ministry and all this kind of stuff's going on out there, and they're out there on the other hand, then they stand up, oh, the government is ungodly. Yeah, it's as ungodly as their church. We shouldn't be taking money from the government. Because when you take money from the government, it ain't free. Somebody, you stuck your hand in their wallet. And you're not taking what they didn't give, you're taking what they were taxed. See, we need to change. If the church doesn't change, the world can't change. The world can't change. We can't bring prosperity to a nation when the church is the big poverty mover. In other words, most churches, if everybody got a job, they'd be out of business because that's all they got is poor and feeding the poor and taking care of the poor. They don't do nothing else. There's nothing but poor ministry. The rich guy can go to hell and they could care less. You don't ever go preach to him. Leave that rich guy alone over there. Oh, it's the poor, it's the poor. We got the poor. I like Jesus. He preached to them all. He didn't go just chase the poor. He went to the rich guy's house too. Hallelujah. He had rich guys support his ministry. Lazarus was a rich man. He liked him so much he raised him from the dead. Glory to God. The church today, we'd only raise the poor, let that rich guy go. Maybe we can get his cash. Maybe we'll inherit some of it. Good preaching nonetheless. Hallelujah. Well, we find out that this covenant was for the descendants of Abraham. We'll go over to Galatians, the third chapter. And I'm going to show you. When somebody tells you, this was for Israel, it's not for the church today. This I know. When they say that, these are people who don't read the Bible. All they do is listen to their religious traditions. They listen to their religious traditions. Listen, Galatians 3 and verse 29 said, if you are Christ, then you what are Abraham's what? Well, do you know that word seed there is talking about? Descendant. If you're Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant and heir to his poverty. Oh, don't say that. Oh, okay. Somebody must have changed my Bible. Hold it. It says, heirs according to what? The promise. What the promise is what? The covenant that God made with Abraham. The power to get wealth. You you think about this. You and I, we come and we accept Jesus Christ. Now look, if you want to, we were spiritually bankrupt. I mean, from a standpoint, spiritually bankrupt. God sends Jesus into this world. Jesus dies, takes our sin, raised from the dead for our justification, sent on high. Anybody who calls on that name gets saved. Now, to me, that was about as good as you could get. But you know what? That wasn't the best. The best wasn't getting... The church lied on this thing. The best wasn't to get born again. The best, with the purpose of being born again, is so the Holy Ghost could live in you. The new birth without the Holy Ghost living in you ain't near what it was cracked up to be. It's the Holy Spirit. It's so men could become temples of God in the earth. You were born again so God could live in you. That's why you were born again. We wouldn't have needed the new birth if God could have came and lived in us, but He couldn't live in us in the spiritual condition, dead spiritually. We were born again for the purpose for God to live in us. You talk about prosperity. You talk about gift. Now look, God giving me $1 billion don't even amount to nothing to giving me the Holy Ghost. It amounts to nothing. Well, you know, God don't want us to have this because we can't handle it. The reason we can't handle it is because the church has been mostly baby to adolescent Christians at most. Have never developed spiritually. It's just like in the natural realm. You can't hand a baby a bunch of money. If he don't waste on something, they'll eat it or do something with it. And if you give it to an adolescent, you give adolescent money, and you know what he'll do with it? He'll have it all blown in no time. What's the problem we're dealing with? We're dealing with a soul problem. We're dealing with people who are emotionally, their will and everything's like a child. They've never developed or never grown. God gave us power to get wealth, and we've been sitting around waiting for God to give us wealth. You know what? It's just like living in this natural realm. The guy who's going to start to get wealth is a guy that's going to start to do something. You go out here, get a job, you start to do something. See, in the natural realm, as it does. You know, kids grow up and they look at their parents and say, well, their parents, they just don't understand. I used to, you know, tell our kids, you know, well, you know, they think sometimes parents just don't understand. I say, well, look, when you start paying the bills and you start, we'll get into this understanding stuff. When you start making, it's easy to sit around and see this. We have a huge part of our nation today sitting around, sitting at home, getting checks. Sitting at home, not doing a thing, getting checks. And they're just sitting there collecting checks. And they ain't doing nothing. And they're one of the biggest mouths in the country. About what problems? Oh, yeah, they're the biggest mouth in the country. And they ain't doing nothing to earn a thing. Just sitting around taking it. Young girls can go out, spread their legs, have babies, and then turn around and go get government housing, and government will go take care of them, and they invite their boyfriend in to live with them. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you, we got a thing going. This is prosperity. Ha ha! Yeah. See, these are the things. God's given us the power to get wealth. He didn't say, I gave you the power to take wealth. It's the power to get wealth. There's a system that's been established by God. And this system requires, I'm going to tell you, this system requires maturity. It requires character. Understand this. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were men of character. They were men of character. These guys weren't going laying around somewhere doing nothing, expecting just to end up with something. God gave them the power to get wealth. They walked in it. They lived in it. They did it. And they became wealthy. One of the things, they began obeying God. They began, can you imagine what it was for Abraham when he's living, his thinking? Abraham's living over in a place where, you know, Abraham was called out from God. I mean, these people, they weren't, the Bible tells us, Abraham came from among heathen people. I'll tell you what, God had to work on Abraham to renew Abraham's mind, to start to thinking like he thought, to start to walking like he thought. See, people talk about, Abraham didn't come wealthy in 15 minutes. He didn't walk over there, got to the land, there was bags of gold sitting around, and there was 50 camels waiting for him. He went over to the land, but God renewed this man's mind. This guy got hooked up with God, and God changed him and made a different man out of him. God turned him into such a man that what seemed impossible to do, he believed God and had a child when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90. Man, we're born again, got the Holy Ghost living in us. Today, the church would never dream of such a thing. Oh, don't have a baby after you hit 45. Well, that child will probably be retarded. That's the church world today. Full of unbelief. And God takes a man called Abraham, brings him out of paganism, not even born again, and gets him to believe what he said. We live in a whacked out Christianity. We live in a Christianity that says, I believe this is the book. I don't care if you believe this is a book. Will you live the book? It doesn't matter what we believe about it. It's what we'll live. It's what we'll walk in. What am I going to trust God? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He didn't say doing good deeds praises God. He said without faith, it's impossible. We've got to trust God. And so that's where it comes from. We got to trust God. We're the descendants and heirs of Abraham, and we need to walk and we need to live in it. We need to get ourselves over into walking right. There has to be a renewing of the mind. This is why if you understand this, if you go over to Matthew, the 19th chapter, in fact, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell this story. And I'm just going to use part of the story because the Lord, I was going to use more of the story, and the Lord said, no, don't do that. Let me go over it later about that. But what I want you to get in your mind, there in the 19th chapter, there was a what is called the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, you've got to keep the commandments. He said, I did it. I kept the commandments. I did it. Jesus said, oh, wow, that's great. Okay, you kept the commandments. In other words, I'll take your word for it. Then Jesus asked him a question, which proved he never kept the commandments. Really? He shot himself in the foot. Do you keep all the commandments? Woo! Man, I'm the man. I'm the man. I keep the commandments. Jesus said, well, then sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. He said, we'll be seeing you then, Jesus. I'll be talking to you about this later. I want to... Goodbye. Adios, amigos. What has it... Hey, this guy had a covetousness problem. Oh, we ain't going to throw no rocks at him. It's running rampant in the church. The Bible says this in the New Testament. Covetousness is idolatry. And this is what Jesus deals with. Here's what Jesus is dealing with. So when you see this said, let's understand what Jesus is talking about. People begin to throw rocks at the things of the rich. And this is the stuff that they used to do in the church. They'd throw rocks at the rich people over this. Because Jesus said, then Jesus said to his disciples in verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he said, and again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now he made the statement two times. Now I want you to understand this. What's Jesus talking about here? What does he say? He just dealt with a guy, what? Because of covetousness. This is one thing that instead of the church preaching the side so people could develop to come to the place where we can walk with God and have wealth, they've turned around and used this as stay away from wealth. Stay away from. You don't stay away from something because you have a problem. And see, what is this? Man has a problem. In other words, he said, entering the kingdom of heaven is hard for a rich guy. Why is it hard? Money is a hugely powerful, powerful thing. You know, you take a guy out here, it's like they do, like here in Pennsylvania, you know, we have the lottery. You know, and they had a show on TV about people who won money at the lotteries, and then where they're at today, most all of them are broke and bankrupt and everything else. Why? People with unrenewed souls, in other words, they have never developed or matured, never had anything of money, turned around, had a bunch of money given to them, and they just blew the whole thing. They never really did anything with it. They didn't bless anybody else with it. They didn't bless themselves. They ruined and destroyed their own lives. They made a mess of things. And it was because of people being immature. In other words, let me tell you this. You could be poor and money can be your God. That's one of the things we got the poor of America today. The poor of America, all they do is they're searching for to get somebody's money. A lot of them are covetous. It's going to be hard for them to enter the kingdom of God. It's hard for anybody who money becomes their God. He said, look, a rich guy, so you need to understand this. Jesus made the statement twice about it. You and I need to understand this. If we want to prosper, we need to develop our souls so we don't turn around and let money control us. If we want to allow God to prosper our lives, we got to develop spiritually, become mature Christians. So money don't dominate us. So we're not like the rich young ruler. I got a lot. Well, I want to go on with God. Oh, it's going to cost me some money? Nope, we ain't going to go do something else. You were going to want to become. You know, a lot of people, you know, over the years I've heard a lot of people throw rocks at Ken Copeland about money. But I will say this about Ken Copeland. That man will give away anything he got. That man gave more away already in 1 week than most people will give away if they live 27 lifetimes. He'll just give. God wants him to give something, he'll just give it. I mean, he gave away jets worth fortunes. He's given away vehicles and stuff and things and money. Just, I mean, gives away. No, something comes to him, God says give it, he'll go give it. He'll go give it away. See, money don't dominate him. Money's a tool. Do you know why a lot of rich people, from the standpoint, if you get a guy, and I've said this before, you get a guy who's wealthy, and he would end up going bankrupt, most likely he'll end up wealthy again. And you know why? Because money's not the goal. Most of those people are driven by, you know, what they do, their job, I'm producing something. They like the business world. They get involved in it and do it, and money comes to them. I have a book at home from a multimillionaire. You know, this guy's huge, full of money, probably close to billions. He's from Australia. And this guy, I read his book. He's a Christian man. He's born again. And he talked about money. He talks about money in his book as money is a tool. And he talks to people about money. He said, I never in my entire life ever took a job because of money. He said, I've always went in my heart what I like to do. And he says, I've always done what I like to do, things I wanted to accomplish and do. And he said, money's always followed me. See, most people never follow their heart. And this is what he talked about in his book. He said, most Christians never will live their entire lifetime and never follow their heart. He said, their desire of what they want to do, they'll never do it because they'll only do what they do where they can make money at it, where they think they can make money. You see, the whole difference, this man's got all this money, gives money away like crazy, and he don't do things for money. Money ain't there. He takes the pleasure. He likes to start businesses. He likes to do stuff. He said, I've done many. He said, I've started businesses. He says, I have businesses that I've raised up. He said, I bought and I sold them off for millions and millions of dollars. He said, I went and did them. He said, I did them just, he said, started off to me was more of a hobby than anything worth a fortune. And I sold it off. But he says, things I just like to do. Oh man, I know people down, you know, that turn around and call, oh, he got all that wealth over there, and blah, 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 you know, and talk. This man's following his heart. And see, this is what, there's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't mature spiritually is not going to follow his heart. He's going to follow his unrenewed mind and his flesh. See, I want to come to the place where money and things don't matter to me. And you folks know this. I'm not a money preacher. I don't try to get money out of people. I don't like people trying to using the word of God just to get their hands in my pocket. And I've seen every group do it. They get people in them that are doing it. They're just trying to get somebody else's money, you know, send it to me or give it to me. You know, do this, do that. People, you know, trying to make you feel guilty if you don't give. I ain't going to do that. We're going to follow the Word of God. We're going to preach the Word of God. It's God has to bless me. It's not me putting pressure on people to get something from them. And you know this. I mean, to me, I hate to even have to make the bulletin and put in there there's an offering for me. I just don't like that at all. And the board knows that. I won't talk about it nor mention it. Because to me, I won't do that. I'd be honest with you. If nobody gave me nothing today, it ain't going to make Ed sad at all. It don't matter. God will bless me. You're not a target for money. But see, I want to mature into the place. And thank God, I'm starting to come in the things. Some of the Lord's been talking to me about things that He wants to do financially for me and for this ministry. The Lord spoke to me and He said, this ministry is going to be a pool of money. And it's going to be a big pool of money. Why? Because I'm not seeking the money. The money will come. The money, you do right, walk what's right, the money will come to it. The money will come into it. People being blessed. Which means this, you're in this ministry, and anybody, just somebody else out there, see, this is what you're, they're out there looking for money. Well, let's sell food over here, let's do this. You know, we got to go sell chicken. Let's sell chicken dinners to the sinners and get their money so we can run our church. The sinner wants to go. If the sinner wants to come to this church and he wants to give money, that's fine. But it goes because I'm trying to get him to sell him something. It's fine if he wants to do it. God will move on. I've had sinners give me money. I've had sinners come and give me money. See, you don't go around here. But this idea, see, this is with the church world out here selling all kinds of stuff, got all kinds of things going, selling this, selling that, trying to sell their stuff, selling their wares. Go start a business somewhere. Employ somebody, make some money. Hallelujah, do something. You know, Jesus ran them out of the temple, the buying and selling. My God, let's run them out of the church today. The buying and selling church. I'm tired of it. Hallelujah. It's done nothing but bring poverty. It's brought poverty instead of blessing. Hallelujah. God has ordained and anointed the church to do what it does, and God has ordained business to do what it does. The church needs to get out of business and start acting like the church again. Needs to get out of the business and let the business people run the business and have businesses and let their businesses prosper instead of the church trying to sell the stuff that the guy's selling down the street. Woo-hoo-hoo! Good preaching anyhow. You know? My God. I can hardly tell the difference between the church and the world anymore. It's getting tough to tell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But Jesus said concerning this guy, he said, you know, about this rich man thing. Now, I looked at a thing, and they used to always say about there was they had like a small opening that people could go through when the gates of the city were shut, that they had a place where they took camels through. Actually, I found this out. I began to read on some of this stuff, and really, that's not what it's talking about here. They had these Jewish rabbis used to have these idioms, and they have one of their idioms was, they used to talk about, they literally meant, you know, it's no way possible to put a camel or an elephant, they used to use the term elephant, through an eye of a needle. You know, trying to explain something. Jesus used this for them, this idiom for them. Speaking here of this, about it's hard, and then these guys, you know, it says, when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, well then, who can be saved? But he said this, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible. In other words, you can't possibly put a camel, it's an impossible naturally put a camel through an eye of a needle. It's an impossible thing to do. But he said, with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. So when the world is, the worldly church has looked, and they have been worldly, they've looked at these things and, oh, the church ought to stay away from wealth. Yet the church has always been the biggest seeker of wealth. They've been seeking, always trying to get more offerings, trying to get stuff. You know, you go to a church and they don't believe in being wealthy and they're selling stuff. It's like, none of it makes sense. You know, really, totally contradictory to what they preach. Totally contradictory in what they're preaching. Praise God. God said He would bless me for my giving. He didn't say from the church standpoint. See, we have a thing. There's one thing for a businessman to run a business. He can't give everything away. You know, there's some people here years ago had a restaurant here in town. And they said, well, we want to have a restaurant. We want to make it a ministry. I said, you don't make a restaurant a ministry. You got bills. You got to pay your bills. You got to be able to, we want to have it. We want to help the poor, and the poor can come in and get free meals. Well, they lost all their money. And they ended up going bankrupt, owing people money and not having it to pay and all kinds of stuff going on. I tried to tell them, you decide, if God's called you to a ministry to feed the poor, then go into the ministry of feed the poor. But you don't buy a restaurant to make a livelihood and try to feed the poor, because you need to make money, because you got to pay the bills of the business. You got to be able to make money so you pay your bills and you can have a place to live. Now, what they did is they lost what they had. They lost what they, you know, went through this whole thing, not listening. This idea, see, because of the church world's idea. Well, we're just going to take, like, you know, business. Something's wrong with it. Businesses are good things. They employ people. You know, if the Apostle Paul made the statement that if we didn't work, we, you know, we shouldn't eat, then there had to be a job somewhere. So businesses are good things. I know our government today and people in our government, they preach like, oh, these rich people in businesses. I have never in my entire life got hired by a poor guy. Never one time. No poor man has ever hired me to do nothing. Thank God. We were blessed as kids. We had a rich farmer down from us. This guy was worth money. His name was Sam Schatzberger. He owned him and another guy owned most of Lancaster. They owned Lancaster, the stockyard down in Lancaster in those days. And they owned that. He owned some farms. And he had a farm right down from us. Now, when I was a little kid, now this goes back about 1960. I started working for him, baling hay. In 1960, as a kid, he hired us. He paid us $1 an hour. I made more than the guys who worked down at the mill down from our place, down in Colebrook at the mill. They found out I was making, those guys found out I was making $1 an hour. They were mad. That rich man blessed me. But he could have never paid me $1 if he didn't have it. And you know what? The other so-called, quote, now he was a Christian man. He was a good man. But see, he didn't go to the churches, the other Christian farmers around him, and they knocked him all the time. Oh, he's this rich guy. You went over to work for them. If you'd have got a quarter, you'd have been lucky. You'd have been lucky if they'd have gave you a quarter. I thank God for that rich man. As a kid, he blessed me. My God, did he bless. It's a big thing in 1960. The guys down in at Colebrook working in the fabric mill down there, they're making under $1 an hour. These are grown men with families. And I'm a kid, 10 years old, on the back of a wagon stacking hay, and he's paying me $1 an hour. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No wonder he was rich. He was such a good man. Hallelujah. All the rest of them talked about being good man. His life proved it. He was that way that I got to know him. He had grandsons that used to come up to his farm and stay there with him. And I used to go down, and he'd have me down all the time, and I'd go down there and I'd work for him, and then his grandkids would work there on the farm and stuff, but we'd go around and play together. We got to go places. He took me down to his Lancaster stockyard to where he had his business down there. He was nothing but an honest, good man. And he wasn't chum's cheap chiseler trying to, you know, make every penny. He was good to people. He was always good to people. He's never trying to take anybody across. He was always good. You know, I didn't understand all of it then, but when I came in the kingdom and started understanding prosperity, I started understanding why that man's rich. God could bless that man. He wasn't out there. He wasn't out there. You know, the farmers were out there and all trying to make money. We had a bad year, good year. You never heard him say a thing. Never heard him say a thing. He never complained about. Never complained about nothing. He didn't say, I have a bad year. We can't pay you good this year. Because I worked for him as a kid year after year. Good, bad, whatever it was, he was always there paying it. Hallelujah. Praise God. No wonder he is so blessed. Glory to God. He was criticized by the other religious people as being worldly. Why? Because he drove nice cars. He had good equipment. But you know, he is a man. If another man wanted to use his equipment, he'd let him use it. That's the way he was. Hallelujah. Those other guys, that had been another story. You don't go to our church. I mean, you know, you're not in our group. You can't. You know? And I know. I went to a church and we were going to heaven and the other churches weren't going to heaven. And their churches said the same thing about them. They were going to heaven and we weren't. Sam Schatzberger thought we were all going. Hallelujah. Thank God I got to run into a man like that. But you can see why he was blessed. He was a rich man, but this man had himself an attitude. He had a different, his soul was different. His mind, will, and emotions were different than others. And see, that's what we want to become. We want to become in that manner. Hallelujah. That we're going to do right, walk, and bless what's right. We're not out here trying to take somebody across. It's one of the things like we talked about with our land over here. You know, because they did when they did the assessments here. I mean, they said our land was worth a whole lot more than we could ever sell it for. And, you know, we went into the hearing, but I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not trying to take the county across. I want a fair assessment. And I prayed, Lord, I don't want to cheat them of taxes. Bible says, pay taxes to whom taxes are due. And I said, Lord, I don't want to cheat them. I want to do what's honest and I want to do what's right. We're not trying to believe God to get out of something. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, if you want to, you do that, you're going to shut the door of blessing to you. What happened? We can't believe we can't get the money? I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to that place. All we're just saying, hey, let's just do what's fair. And what? God did exactly that for us. He did it. He did exactly that for us. But I'll tell you what, I couldn't get God on my side. You know, I'd have been guilty in my heart. I could have never by faith asked Him to give us a special deal. I'd never had the right to ever complain about anybody else in government who ever got a special deal. People are always trying to get special deals from the government and then complaining about others. Well, them congressmen down there, they always get all these benefits. Well, you're always trying to steal all you can. Woo! Good preaching nonetheless. See, you want to operate, you want to do what's right. I want to read something to you from a scripture standpoint. We're going to go to 1 Timothy. And I'm going to read you, it's quite a bit of scripture here. It's going to be 12 verses. But I want to read it because I want you to look at this. Because now understand with it, we're dealing with godly character. Here is some misrepresented scriptures from the scripture. They're misrepresented. People take portions or certain scriptures out of this group. You must keep these scriptures in, you know, their setting. If you don't, you will preach false doctrine. You'll preach false doctrine. See, lots of times today, you've got to be careful. When a scripture's taken out, go sit down and read. What's that scripture? Where is it in its context? What's it saying? Because this is misrepresented. Because it's not dealing like people have tried to use it as in how they deal with it. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 1 says, because verse 1 begins and tells us who is being spoken to. There's a certain group or certain group that he is speaking this specifically to. And he says, let as many bondservants or as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrines may not be blasphemed. Now let me say this. A bondservant is different than a servant. A bondservant is somebody who is working for an individual by choice, not because they were bought nor owned. They may have started off as bought, but became the place of time. They may have been, could have been set free, and they chose, no, I want to keep working for this master. But a bondservant is somebody. In other words, if we bring it to our society, it's talking about a laborer working for an individual, which is what we're dealing with. And remember, I want you to understand this. This whole scripture area is talking about this relationship. You need to understand. See, people don't, they preached it and brought it out into everything else under the sun. He says, and again I say, excuse me. So he says, this doctrine, don't let the doctrine, he said, what we're supposed to treat, in other words, you treat whomever you're working for with honor. You treat them with honor. He said, do that. So why? So the doctrines of God are not blasphemed. So always remember that. Folks, we're dealing in the area of prosperity. If we don't renew our soul, it will limit us on how far we can go in this area. How far God can go in releasing things to us. It says, and those who have believing masters. Now this, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Well, if he's a Christian, he ought to do more for me. Or if he's a... What'd it say? You see, this is this dealing. It's dealing. This whole scripture that we're going to look down here is dealing with this attitude. Because he makes this statement. He said, teach and exhort these things. And then he says, if anyone teaches otherwise, anybody who teaches, well, I'll tell you, we ought to make him do more for me. I'll tell you, I'm going to call somebody and find him. He ought to do more for me. You really got to watch. because over here, I'm trusting God for money, but I want to make him give it to me. See if that works. You guys know the story that I've told, you know, how God had started to teach me when I was at Ramey. He started to teach me. See, I wasn't doing what I did as unto the Lord. He had to teach me. See, I can turn around and get my focus on a man for blessing, and I can really shortchange myself hugely. Shortchange. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome word, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, this is what he said. In other words, these things that he just said, the things he just said about this relationship between the work and the worker and the employer, he, listen to what he said. This person that don't accept, a person that don't accept this kind of teaching, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, for which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who supposes that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. I'm going to give you a good thing to learn to do this. The complainers where you work at, get away from them. Because they're going to keep you poor. They're going to keep you poor. They're going to work. The devil's going to use them to rob you. The devil will use them to rob you. The complainer, stay away from them. I want you to see what he goes on to stay here. Listen, verse 6 he says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Now I want you to understand what he's talking about, contentment. This is what God had to teach me. Contentment. Contentment. You cannot be content and worry. Contentment is this. It is a sign or an action of faith. You can know whether you're believing God by your action. Whether your action is worry, you're stressful, you're, or you're content. See, when faith, if I believe God's going to take care of me or God's going to supply my need, I need to come to contentment. That doesn't mean that I just say, well, look, I just got this and I don't want no more. No, this contentment. Because listen, we've got to go on and read about it. It says, for we brought nothing into the world, and certainly we won't carry anything out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. In other words, content. Do you think, now I want you to take this, because people say, well, see, Paul, I have food and clothing. Well, then it doesn't say here you're supposed to have a house to live in. So in other words, if you're out on the street and you got something to eat, you got some clothes on your back, quit your griping. What's the church running around feeding people for? We should go tell them, why don't you be content? Is that what he's talking about? No, we got to put it in the context of what he's talking about. He's saying to this servant, you know, you don't put your needs of your master on his back. A Christian is supposed to put their care and their worry on the Lord. The things that they need, we're supposed to be believing God. Now, God may use that man. He may, but he may not. Understand, when you're fighting the employer to bless you, you have shut every other avenue of blessing off from you. You might not like that, but I had to learn that one, man. This is what happens. People get focused. Men have gotten so focused, men and women of God, they called unions in and turned around and destroyed companies and lost all of them, lost their job because the companies went under. Why? They got so focused on their need from that individual, they destroyed the companies. And I mean, we turn around and here we are. These people that fought for this stuff and were taking our tax money and putting it in their businesses to keep them going. Well, we're just helping to keep the country. We're helping to keep jobs. No, we ain't. You're destroying jobs doing that. This is not good preaching in the church today. Because the church is basically socialistic. They think God is. Most Christians think God's a socialist. He's not. God expects you and me to trust Him. When I found that out, when the Bible said faith pleases God, I used to walk around and blab that stuff, but I wasn't doing it. He expected me to act in faith toward Him. In other words, the position that I'm in, See, a bondservant would have been this. He would have been living. He said, you got food, you got clothing. You know the bondservant got housing because it's provided by his master. In other words, he said, hold it, you got that. You be content in that. Quit fussing with him. Why? We're supposed to go to God. You need something, go to God. You know, as you tell people, get upset. Well, I need money. Well, then you need to give. No. Well, I can hardly have anything now. I mean, so. But the guy ought to pay me more. Now listen what he said. Now he makes this statement. And again, he brings this in. Because there is a dilemma for both sides. There's a dilemma for the guy on the other side who has the money, and the guy over here is trying to get the money. There's a dilemma for both. He preaches to the guy who's trying to get the money first, and then he says this. He said, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmless lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Listen to what he says. He said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, you got to watch because you can get a hold of love of money and you in trouble. He's talking to both sides. You got to keep this in its context. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want people wealthy. You got to hold it in its context. He's talking to both sides. The guy who's putting this great demand on the employer and ain't trusting God is doing wrong. The employer, if he got money and he trusts money, he's wrong. But really, both of them are in the same boat. It's loving money. Money is the object. We got to remove that from us. We got to change how we view wealth. We must change how we view it. It is wonderful to have. God's in heaven, got all this great stuff. I mean, what a wonderful place, you know, and that stuff, nothing there. Everything's going great. God ain't sick one day of the week. He ain't got, you know, he don't worry at all about anything. He's sitting up there real nice. But you know, that same God didn't have nothing going. He reached down into this world to save us. He reached this guy. Why? Not to keep us into something bad. He wants to bring us up. That's why the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to put on the mind of Christ. If you'll listen to the Holy Ghost, He'll teach you right. The Holy Ghost will give you the mind of Christ, where you're not dominated by stuff. One of the biggest problems we have in America, in the American church, people are dominated by their stuff. It's not wrong to have the stuff, but they're dominated. It rules them. People say, I just don't have time to do this. Then they'll buy another thing that takes more of their time. I don't have time to pray. Let's buy a motorhome and then I'll run around a lot and then I'll do that. Well, if you ain't got time to pray now, forget the motorhome. You're too busy. You don't need something else to go play, spend more time. Hold it. You need to back up. Let's get things right. There's nothing wrong with owning a motorhome. My God, own 10 of them if you want to. I don't care. The whole point of it is, though, if I'm sitting and saying I can't do or live the life that God wants me to live and I need more stuff, hold it. There needs to be a brain check here somewhere. We need to find out if you still, you know, there between your ears or you left and went somewhere. The busyness of our society is majorly dealing with stuff. Now, you know what? I get over here, I get over, God wants me to get some more stuff. He spoke to me about what He wants me to do. And I'm like, oh man. But there's one thing. It comes up to spiritual development. You have to learn to know about Him. Still, hold that in its right place and maintain yourself. I'm totally convinced. I've learned this about the areas, especially in the areas of giving. I've learned this over time. And you need to learn to do this, and you need to learn to pay attention. God don't always give stuff to you for you. God gives us sometimes things, and it's for somebody else. If you're not led by the Spirit, you'll become that dam. You'll become that dam. You know, just this past, earlier in this year, God gave me some money, and I wasn't, you know, looking for it or nothing like that. God gave me some money. But I knew when that money come, it wasn't for me. I knew it wasn't. I knew it was for somebody else. See, what God wants to do is God wants to bless me. See, He blessed the person who blessed me, who gave me the money. Now, we're going to get a double out of this thing. They get blessed for their giving. Now, I get a blessing from passing it on and giving. And He had me give it to a certain ministry. So what? They're going to use the money to bless others. They'll get blessed. This is a contagious thing and it's wonderful. I'll tell you what. It's wonderful. But that doesn't mean you give everything away. But you need to learn and listen in your spirit. You need to develop and learn what's for you and what's not. You need to learn to listen on the inside. Because not everything comes to us. I learned that, you know, from Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland learned that well. He learned that well. I mean, I listened to him when I first came in the kingdom and he would talk about the things, how God would pass things through him. And I thought, well, I want to be that smart. I want to know the difference about what's mine and what's not. Hallelujah. I want to learn the difference of those things. Hallelujah. To live in the blessing. But we found out here, it read in verse 10, it says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil, it's the love of it. But let me tell you, it's the love of anything. I'm going to tell you, people. I know people out of the will of God because they love their family more than they love God, because they serve their family and they don't serve God like He wants, because everything is taken by their family. And they won't serve God. I mean, the family wants anything, they do everything. Everything's geared toward their family. God gets nothing out of them. Their family is their God. See, anything can become a god to you. Whatever you turn around becomes more important to you than God. You know? You know, one of the things that I learned from the time I was a young Christian, I came and I accepted Jesus. One of the things that I did, you know, from being such a heathen and going over accepting Christ, you know, I didn't sit and think of whether Wanda would accept Christ, but I come to the day that I thought about that. Well, what if she doesn't accept Christ? What if she doesn't? What if she decides to, she will be married to this guy now, you know, that was party man and everything else, and now he's following Jesus. What if she goes? And I just came to this decision. If she goes, I'll say, honey, I love you, but we'll see you. I'm following Jesus. Oh, you could have a ton of ministers say, oh, don't do that. Now stay over here and stay carnal. Chase after her and let Jesus alone. You know, God will fix it all. Not necessarily. Paul said, if you have an unbelieving mate and they choose to leave, he said, let them go. But who wants to listen to the Bible? We got good counselors today. You know, what's the Bible mean? Paul didn't know much anyhow. You know, it's all right, but wasn't very bright. The love of money says, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In other words, money. Here's a person who money, they didn't mature with the money. They got the money faster than the... And this is one thing. You want to mature at a rate, and you don't want to, you know, it's just... I remember when I came in the kingdom and people would hear about, you know, prosperity, and you'd get these guys, I believe in God for $1 million. And I thought, my God, give you $1 million, tomorrow you'd be in a bar. You'd probably be out, but you wouldn't serve God for 2 minutes. You'd be running around doing all this stuff, taking care of the lust of your flesh. He said, but you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue. What are we, is our pursuit? Our pursuit is righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. It's the faith battle. Stay over in the faith camp. Stay over in the area. Faith is what? Trust in God. Trust God to take care of you. Look to God to take care of you. Don't look at money to take care of you. Money is a wonderful tool in a toolbox. But there's more in your tool, needs to be in your toolbox than money. You know, money will buy you things that you normally wouldn't have. And what happens is people get money, they start buying things. And after a while, those things, those pleasures, those things become more important to them. And see, you got to make sure that you mature. If you mature and you develop Christian character, you won't have that problem. That won't happen to you. Man, there's people out here, and I said, there are rich Christians out here. I know Randall Greer told the story of a guy, you know, up in, was the richest guy in Washington State, the richest man. He gives 90% of his income away. 90%. He lives on 10% and lives very well on his 10%. But he gives 90% of his money goes to the gospel. 90%. Now, I know people see him riding around his nice cars and his big home and everything. Oh, that guy, my God, the church that I went to as a kid, well, my God, they'd have crucified him. They'd have drug him out and nailed him to a cross and stuck him up. I mean, that heathen man. And he was doing more for God than they ever even considered ever doing. He was wealthy, but I'll tell you what, not stingy in the least. He's the only one. There's other men, men and women who have done the same things. I've turned around, they're wealthy. Turn around, have done these things. That doesn't mean everybody has to give 90% away. That doesn't mean that. That's what he chose to do. But there's one thing that I know about this man. This man's soul developed ahead of his money. His soul developed ahead of his money. In other words, he lived a life of faith. He wasn't trusting in money. He was trusting in God. This is why. See, money can take you over where you don't trust God for things. That's why the Lord said to me, never allow the church to pay you for more than what you want. Always have your gold out for higher than what they can give you, your desire. And I've always done that. I need more money than the church gives me because I can't give as much as I want to give with what the church gives me. I can't do it. I'm going to have more money. So I can do more. I need to have more. I have to. I'll say no, just God wants to provide your need. Yeah, my need's huge. Let me alone. I don't want this nickel dime need stuff and then we'll just put a quarter in the offering plate. Ain't going there. I don't want that stuff. Now, if that's all you got to put in and that's all you could do, that's fine. But don't you stay there. You get yourself over where your desire, your faith is for something greater. I remember Juan and I started off, and I mean, I'll never forget, we started to tithe. Oh my God, we started to tithe, and dear Lord, from a natural perspective, seemed like the dumbest thing in the world for us to do from a money standpoint. Seems, you know, I'll never forget what I told Wanda. We were going to tithe, and she looked at me, she said, like, what's that? And then she, as we go to tithe, we're going to give a tenth of our income to God. And she, like, yeah, this guy now, he's really going. He's went over the top now. He left somewhere. He's gone someplace. And so we just started doing that. We'd sit down, and I remember when we started doing it, I remember Wanda said one time, she said, you know, it doesn't make sense how our bills get paid. But she says, everything's always up to date. But she said, I don't see how the money figures out. She said, it seems like we shouldn't have enough. But things always were. Well, then it went from there. And we just started believing God for more. And that stuff just started believing God. You know, like I said, we started off, our first big quest of faith was $20. That was a big thing for me at that time. Believe God. I never believed God for money. And we needed $20. So I'm believe God for $20. And God gave us that $20. My God, you'd have thought we got $1 million check in the mail. The most wonderful thing was, we know that God brought it to us. We didn't go around asking somebody else. We didn't get on TV and tell everybody how we were going under. And if you don't send us a check, we won't be here tomorrow. And the Gibsons are going to starve to death because you didn't give. And then we'd hold up pictures of our kids with their faces real. Look, I ain't got anything against giving the poor. I give the poor. But we got more gimmicks in a little bit. Now, I want to just say this to you because I want to read down through to you quickly here what something Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, and starting in verse 6. Because if Paul's the guy that wrote to Timothy, if Paul said you ain't supposed to be having money, then he went over and Paul preached two different doctrines. That's why I said you have to read those first ones in line with what the subject was of who he was talking about. See, the church has pulled those things out and has thrown those things and really hurt people's ability to trust God. So people couldn't even believe God for enough money to get their bills paid because they used them and took them out of their context. Paul spoke to, wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 6, he says, but this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now I want you to tell you, if you go read it, it's about an offering taken. He's talking about these people getting back for their giving. Jesus said, if you give, it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Paul's talking to these people about getting something back for what they're doing. And he told them, how you approach in your giving is going to determine how much you get back. God does not determine that. Who has been given power to get wealth? Me. You. It's not in God's hands. How much you prosper depends on what you do. Not on what God does. He is trying to establish you and I, in the covenant of prosperity. He's been working at the church in this for centuries. Trying to establish us. And really, let's be honest, only a few really entered into it. And we'll let the world go in it up to their neck and complain about them. He said, in other words, hey, what you give in the offering is you determine what's coming back to you. What you put in is what you get back. The church group that I belonged to when I was a kid, today it's very much diminished. Not near the people go to the church group. And one of the reasons is their stinginess. They took in money. Literally, they had millions in the bank. Millions in the bank. They would hardly pay their preachers a thing. I mean, they'd give them a couple $1,000s a year and a pat on the back and say, see you later. That's the kind of things they do to them. And they had millions in the bank. And you know what? Today they still got millions in the bank, but they ain't got nobody. You know, we're over here, you know, they're still taking offerings. They could quit taking offerings a long time ago because they ain't got enough ministry going on to make no difference in it. But they're still out there doing it, hanging on to their money. See, they're not sowers. They're not sowers. You sow into people. See, Paul wrote concerning ministers. He said, if a guy who preaches the word, he should get double honor. In other words, he ought to get twice as much. Man, they wouldn't. My God, if they gave him twice as much, he'd still load him a bunch more. Bunch of cheapskates. He said, so let each one give as he purposes. Okay? I want you to take that, because I want you to see it. As he purposes. What's the purpose in your giving? Say, God, I need $1,000, so I'm going to give an offering that'll bring back a good $50. You have to decide what you want back. You have to sow on a level. I had to learn that. You guys heard me talk about it. You know, when God, Wanda and I were tithers and we gave offerings and everything like that. But we were still in a place, you know, and we had 260 some bucks. I mean, we had, well, it was 70 some dollars we had. We didn't have any money in our savings. That's all we had. We went to a meeting, and in this meeting, we were sitting in the meeting and they were taking an offering. And I will never forget it. To me, when God deals with me with stuff like this, it's like it happened yesterday. I can remember sitting in that place and the Lord said to me, I want you to put in all your money. It was Wanda and I's wedding anniversary. We had went out to dinner and then went to this meeting. And we were at this meeting. This is all the money that we had till my next pay, which was 2 weeks down the road. And this was all the money we had. We didn't have any more money than that. God said, I want you to put it all in the offering. And I said, Wanda's going to be tickled about this one. And I looked over and I said, God said I was supposed to put it all in. And she looked back at me and said, well, if he said it, then do it. And so I did it. We put that money in there. 5 days later, somebody came and gave us a check for almost $300. But I'll tell you what, that check would not have came if I hadn't done that. God did to me, maybe not on the scale of the rich young ruler, but he tested me on my area given. He tested me. I want to tell you what, if you won't let God test you, you will never enter into God's prosperity. He's going to test you. He's going to ask you to give uncomfortably at times. Why did I know about the giving and not in comfort? You know, you don't. Everybody's saying get out of debt and God's telling us to give offerings, borrow money, offerings. I knew it was God. Anybody could tell me, oh, God will never have you borrow money. Go jump. God did it and he brought us money. He really squared some things away from us, for us. You better obey God. You can obey man, but you better obey God. I was uncomfortable. I didn't like the idea. It's like, ooh, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to have borrow money. Put it on a credit card, nonetheless. See, man, let's go to the bank. At least let's borrow some. He said, nah, you put them in. Why? He wanted me to come over and trust him. He paid it off. Blessed us. But he made me in not comfortable. But see, what's he trying to do? All of this was done for the purpose is trying to renew my soul. Trying to get my mind, will, and emotions operating right. If he can't take you there, if your emotions are going to control, see, my emotions sure wanted to control that. They didn't want to do it. And why God gave me a wife. If God gives me a number, my wife will always give me a bigger one. She does this all the time. I say, you know, I think we ought to give them $1,000. She said, I think we ought to give them $1,200. I say, well, yeah, then we'll give them $1,200. I always take the higher number. I always do that. If she says a higher number, I always give the higher number. I always do. I'll say, well, I believe God said 1,000. Well, I tell you, if the 200 was wrong, they'll be blessed anyhow. It don't matter. Hallelujah. Is to do it. But we got to step over into these areas. So whatever you purpose in your heart, says not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? God loves a cheerful giver. See, I didn't enter into the giving game where it was cheerful. I had to develop to this place. You got to develop to the place. Ron and I have come to the place where, man, I just love to give. I just love to do it. I love to give. I believe for God for money to give. God, there's ministries I want to help. I want to send this guy $1,000. And I want to send him $1,000. I want to do this over here for this guy. I want to do that. God, I want money. I want money to come to me. Because there's stuff I got to do. It's in my heart. Why? Because I love to give. Because the Bible says this. It's more blessed to give than received. You have not entered the place of blessing till that becomes real to you. If receiving is still the biggie to you, you're on the baby side of the game of wealth. My God. But I started to see this as my character and my soul began to develop over in the area where money was something that I could use as a blessing and a help rather than just trying to get it. I found this. God would give me money and without even asking about things, money would come to me. And see, this is where you want to come to. You want to come to the place where you're not chasing after money. You want to come to the place where that guy said in his book, money's always followed me. Money followed Abraham. He didn't chase money. That's the covenant. He didn't chase the money. Don't grudgingly give. Don't give on, well, if you don't give, we're going to go under. And you know, Aunt Granny so-and-so down in such and such a place is going to die and it's your fault. If you don't give to us, these kids don't get to eat and now you're in trouble. You know, if you don't tithe, God's going to get you. If you don't tithe, you'll get you. God ain't going to get you. You will. If you don't give and love to give, it'll get you. Because the power to get wealth's in your hands. God don't have to do anything about it. He can just stand back and watch. The laws are set in motion. The laws are already set in motion. What did he say? Listen to what he said here. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. He didn't say, so you had a quarter to put in the plate for something good. He said an abundance. I have not arrived yet to the abundance. Wanda and I have given away. In our Christian lifetime, I tell you, we've given away a ton of money. Wanda and I have given away a lot of money. But I'm going to tell you what. In God's mind, it ain't the abundance He has planned. Oh, the abundance is coming. Hallelujah. I'm going to step into the place of the abundance. God wants you to step into the place of the abundance. And that place of abundance is a place where you love to give. You love to be a blessing. That place, you want to mature. You don't want money if it's going to dominate your life. Man, I got enough that dominated me that I had to overcome. I don't want something else to dominate my life. Hallelujah. You know, it's sort of like becoming mature enough. It's like parents. Parents ought to know if a child's mature enough to handle a gun. I don't care. You know, you take a kid who may be old enough to go hunting, but a lot of them ain't mature enough to put a gun in their hand. I wouldn't give them one. And we need to know that in life. You need to learn this as a Christian. God has put the thing of getting wealth into your hands, but you can shoot yourself in the foot with it. You better be able to gauge your maturity. You better be able to gauge how fast you want to go ahead. I'm only coming into the place, really, of maturity on the areas of money where I have great confidence. Where, not in me, but God in me. I'll stay on line with it. I'm only coming into that place now. That's the place I'm coming into now. See, you wouldn't have wanted 10 years ago send Ed Gibson a check for $1 million. He'd have bought a beach house someplace and went and sat on the beach. Say, God's really blessed me. Yep. That's right. I've watched people do it. I've watched people over my Christian life. I've watched people. As soon as God starts to bless it, I've watched people who come in, don't have nothing. God starts to bless their life. They come to Jesus, starts to bless their life. After a while, they have a good life, good living, doing all that stuff. They ain't in church half the time. They're out someplace else. They're weekends. They have money now to go away, so they go away someplace. You don't go to church anymore. You don't do the stuff. You know, you send a check every once in a while and go think that they're following God. They following God at all. We don't have time. We don't have time for God, but we have loads of time for leisure. And there's one thing: when you get money, money can get you, can put you in a place of a lot of leisure if you want to go there. It can also lead you over the place to be greedy for money and then work like crazy and never, you know, do everything you can just to get money. And see, God wants us to come to the place where we're not dominated or ruled by anything in this earth, but we're dominated by Him. When you got saved, you confessed Jesus is Lord. That's what's supposed to be Lord. Jesus alone. There's nothing else that's supposed to enter into that place. Now, you don't start up. We confess Jesus is Lord, but we let things Lord in there in between. But we're supposed to be growing and developing to the place where He has full lordship. And the church is not going there. Most of the church world has no intent of going to the lordship of Jesus. It's no more than words from their mouth. It's nothing but wind blowing and talking. Nice religious things said, but they're governed by all kinds of stuff. We're governed by everything. Our life is, our moods are up and down, in and out. We're all, you know, whatever else is going on. All this kind of stuff. Why? Because of what changes around us. Why? Because the lordship isn't Jesus. All the fighting and things and over all the stuff of dealing with our nation and all the problems. I'm sorry. Jesus is still Lord. If Jesus is Lord, you won't find yourself worrying about the economy. You won't find yourself, because Jesus is still Lord. See, you want to come into that place. You want to walk and arrive at that place where Jesus is Lord. No matter what I'm facing in my life. Lord, I'm facing a big dilemma here. But Jesus is Lord. But Jesus is, if Jesus is Lord, all things are possible to him that believeth. Not him that believeth what he wants to believeth on the Lord. My trust is what my Lord will do. My trust is in his help for me. My trust, Jesus being Lord. That's what this is about. That's what Christian character and development makes Jesus Lord. And nothing else becomes Lord. See, don't twist the scriptures around and don't let the scriptures of what Paul said at one place defeat you, because God wants you blessed. God wants you to have an abundance to give to some good works. He said to every good work. See, Wanda and I are always expanding our giving. We always expand in our giving. We're always expanding. Why? Because I always run into another good work. So Lord, you're going to have to give me some more money because I want to give into that good work. They're doing a good work and I want to be a part of that good work. I want to give them money. See, I don't believe in having just my needs met. My needs met doesn't mean I have an abundance. As people say it, when I say my needs, this is how I think. All this money I want to give is part of my need. I need to have that so I can give it. Hey, I need to have a good car. I need to have a good place to live. I need to have good clothing. I need their needs. But Jesus said God would dress me better than Solomon. I expect something better than an old pair of worn out jeans. Now, people today will pay $1,000 for a pair of worn out jeans, the morons. But, you know, I'm not talking about you're out here. What is your need? See, and this is you need it. If your soul doesn't change, whatever happens, don't become selfish. I'm believing God to take care of me. There's other people I need, and other things I need to be taken care of. So my need, they're part of my need. They're part of what I want. Don't be selfish. Well, you know, I got my bills paid. I got my stuff. I'm doing good. No, I'm not doing good till I have an abundance. to give to every good work. I want to be like the guy who lives on 10% and gives 90 away. He could give to every good work, can't he? Didn't Paul say that? You know, okay, I'll take my $10 and I'll send each ministry a penny. And I'm, that's going to really help. It isn't. I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to give nickel dime. Here, you get $5. I'll give you five. I'll give you five. I started there. But I sure didn't like being there. I thought, man, I want to give more than that. I want to help them better than that. It's like one guy said one time about being a supporter. He said, if you pull your support, does it make a difference? He said, if it don't, you probably ain't a supporter. Well, let me tell you, if you're supporting something, you know, you go under a house and you go under the support things that hold a house up, go yank the supports and see what happens. The house don't just keep up. It's okay to live with. No, it ain't. It ain't okay to live with. And I decided I want to become a supporter. I think that's what Paul was talking about. Becoming supporters. Don't knock your little place of giving. Don't ever knock it. You start there, but say, well, I was able to give a dollar. If that's where you can start, you give the dollar. If that's where you can start, you give the dollar. You say, God, you're going to bless me. I'm going to be able to give them $2. Then I'm going to be able to give them $3. Then I'm going to be able, God, you're going to bless me. I'm going to give them $4. God, There's a good worker. They're doing. I want to bless them too. Lord God, this dollar thing ain't working well enough. Let's get into the $10, God. I need to. I'm going to have it. See, what you believe, this one thing. Jesus said this. Jesus said, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. He said what you desire. He didn't say what God desires. He said what you desire. You need to understand what that word means. That word has the idea that is a compulsion to have it. It's not this, well, I'd like to have it. If it comes, well, it don't matter. And if it does, whatever. It's not what it's talking about. You have a compulsion that you have to have that. If you don't have that, it ain't going to happen. You got to get compulsion within you. It's got to become a strong need in you to give to something. It's got to become a thing within you that, man, I got to have this abundance to give. There's things that are good to be a blessing to humanity, to get the gospel spread. It's important. You know, we got missionaries and stuff. They can't do things they'd like to do. There's not enough money. Yet there's enough money for people doing all kinds of things, all kinds of stuff, but there's not enough money. And isn't God wants people poor? You don't want to give away everything you got. Trust God. Put your money out there. Start expanding yourself. If you have started a dollar faith, there's nothing wrong with that. Wanda and I started down there, man. That was a huge thing. Got 20 bucks. My words, we thought we died and went to heaven. But that was big. But God encouraged us. That's where we started. He didn't start. We believed God for 20. He gave us 20. You know, because why? We didn't believe Him for 100. When I figured out you could start believing for the hundreds, then we started doing that. I didn't know that. Then God would bless us with like that. But we were the ones who were setting the parameters. And I decided, I'm not going to let my faith set parameters where God can't expand through me to bless other people. Let's stand to our feet. I know it went long. But I tell you, these things need to...